Acts chapter 13. If you hear some knocking, don't open the door. It's going to be my niece. Like to read on verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, up to this point, the church had been just growing, and it has started, as you well know, in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. That's when the church began. That's when the Holy Spirit came down and began to indwell believers. Now, just briefly, I'm going to bring you up to chapter 13. The Lord, before he left, he had left a very direct command. He says, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Teach all the nations. Preach repentance and remission of sins in my name.
Amen.
Now, what the apostles had done up to chapter 13, they had gone and evangelized Jerusalem. The Lord had told them exactly how to do it. He had told them where to start. He said, you start in Jerusalem. Then you go to Judea. Then you go to Samaria. And then to the uttermost. Up to this point, they had not gone to the uttermost yet. But they had gone all over Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria.
Amen.
Now, what they had been doing is preaching only to the Jew. And of course, as you know, if you've been reading the book of Acts and you've read it before, you know that the Gentiles did not come in until Acts chapter 10. Now, there was tremendous, great persecution. And that sent out a lot of the believers scattered all over. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter Acts chapter 12, that because of the persecution, they went all the way out onto Antioch. But they were only preaching to the Jew. But finally, the Bible says that some of these Jewish brothers began to preach to the Gentiles. The Bible says that the Lord's hand was upon it.
Amen.
They began to turn to the Lord in great numbers. So then that's where you get the church of Antioch. And of course, Jerusalem, being the center of Christianity, this is where all the apostles were. They seen Barnabas. They said, Barnabas, go and check this out. See what's going on over there. So Barnabas arrives at Antioch. He finds this tremendous church growing tremendously. God is tremendously blessing. Paul was not there at the time. So what Barnabas did, he went out and looked for Paul and brought him over here. So at this point, on chapter 13, what we've got is Paul and Barnabas had been preaching here already for 1 year. Now, this particular chapter is considered as the birth of world evangelism.
Amen.
It's also called the starting point of sending out missionaries, of missions. So, what I like to do, it says on verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, this is a mission conference. And on mission conferences, the emphasis is on mission work, on missionaries, on going out unto the uttermost. This is the first time that they're about to go unto the uttermost. So, what we've got here, the Lord has said, Separate me, these two. They're about to go. Now, emphasis is always placed on, have you been called? Now, what I like to do tonight is ask basically the same question, but I just want to come in from a different angle. How can a Christian know whether he's been called? Now, I'm not referring to going out and witnessing. If you are saved tonight, and I hope every one of you is saved tonight, and if you're not, find out how you can be saved. All you have to do is repent of your sins, put all your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, call upon his name. He's the only one that can save you. But if you have been saved, you've been called to go. But I'm not referring to going to the neighborhood. I'm not referring to going to your neighbors, to your friends, to your relatives. You should do that. All of us should be doing it. But what I'm talking about is like Paul and Barnabas. Have you been called to go to the uttermost? How can a Christian know whether he's been called? I'd like to cover those points in a little while later on in my message, I'd like to come and bring you some things that I think are very important that we should check ourselves to know whether you've been called. You know, my friend, my brother, it's very important that you don't make a mistake in this. If you go into the mission field, abroad, to the uttermost, and you have not been called to go, it's a serious mistake.
Amen.
But to be called of God to go, and you don't go, is also a very serious mistake. And the testimony of missionaries, they'll come and tell you, there's a lot of people out there calling themselves missionaries, and they have not been called to go.
That's right.
They're preaching another gospel. They're preaching a perverted gospel. They're preaching everything else. You got all the cults out there preaching. They call themselves missionaries. God did not call any one of them to go and preach a perverted gospel.
That's right.
So it's very important that you do not make a mistake on this. Before I get into those points that I'd like to bring out, I'd like to first of all just talk a little bit about these two verses here, verse 1 and verse 2. The first point that we find is, now they were in the church that was at Antioch. The first thing I want to bring to your attention is the church. This church is an example, is a type of the way we should build churches.
Amen.
This is a church that did not have only one pastor,
right.
But yet that's what you find all along. You look around you and just about all the churches have only one leader, only one pastor, but that's not the example that the Lord left us. He left us many speakers, preachers, teachers. That's what we find. But you don't find people following the example that God gave them.
Right.
Now, I know that there are a lot of good churches, and I can give you names of many good churches that only have one pastor. I'm not going to give them, but there's a lot of them. And they're evangelistic. They're missionary-minded. They give to missions, and they send out missionaries. But what I'm trying to say is that if these churches would follow God's example of a church, of a Christian church, God would bless it much more than what they're blessed right now. I used to go to a church. When I left the Catholic Church, I got saved. I stayed there for several months as I studied the scriptures, the Catholic scriptures. Once I saw that I had been fooled and I needed to come out, I came out.
Amen.
I went to another church. It was close to my house. Of course, I didn't know too much. It seemed to be the real thing, and I still think it's a good church, except for some little heresies that I didn't like. I had to leave it for that. But what I'm trying to say is that in that church, there was only one leader, one pastor. And yet, there was a lot of good brothers there. A lot of them that felt led to preach, to teach. But there was no way they could express themselves. Right now, they're still sitting in pews with no desire to go anywhere.
Amen.
If it had been a church like the way we have here, where anybody can get up and preach and teach, and the Lord can lift you up and teach you as you go along and grow in knowledge and in grace, then maybe some of these brothers would probably be in the field already. So, that's why Okno, this church right here, a lot of people come in and find it very peculiar. They like it when they see what goes on in here. This is a church very similar to this. There's more than one preacher, there's more than one teacher, and that's why I can see why we have so many missionaries, so many preachers, so many work that goes out of this church, is because we are following the example that God left
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
Now, I'd like to touch now on the brothers that were preaching at this church. There's five of them. I'd like to talk first about Barnabas. He's the first one on the list. Barnabas was one of the early Christian, one of the first people that got saved. He comes from the early church, from Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he was one of those that saw all his possessions.
Amen.
And came and put it at the apostles' feet.
Amen.
This man was full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us. He was also, his real name was actually José. But the apostles called him Barnabas. They called him Barnabas because that means son of consolation. That means that this brother was probably one of those that you could go to in time of trouble.
Amen.
You know, that's the beauty of having a church where you have a several preachers and teachers. The Lord begins to lift them up. And then you begin to see who are those brothers that you can go to in time of need, in time of trouble. You know, in this church, we do have some Barnabas.
Amen.
I remember when my wife, we had problems at home with my mother-in-law. Some of you know the story. But nevertheless, we had some problems with her, and I was trying to comfort my wife, and she says, "Honey, I still want somebody else to give me some comfort, somebody that can show me from the scriptures. I want to talk to Brother Kincaid." It didn't hurt my feelings, but I said, "All right, let me call him." So I called Brother Kincaid, and right away, him and Sister Verlin said, "Okay, brother, we'll meet you at the church. Going over there, it's a blessing to have a Barnabas in the church." Brother Kincaid is my Barnabas. But I can see that the Lord is already beginning to raise other Barnabases in this church. This is a beautiful name. It's a name that I wish I had. Now the next one that we have here is Simeon, that was called Niger. There's not too much said about this brother. The other one is Lucius of Cyrene. Neither one of these or says too much on the Bible says about him. But Lucius, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, it means illuminative, the illuminated one. Means that this guy was bright. He was smart.
Amen.
You know, many times the names, they signify something. They were always putting names, you know. The apostles, Barnabas and Paul, when they were preaching, right away they began to call them Mercurius and Jupiter. Because it meant something to the people. Now, Niger, I looked it up. I think somebody played a joke on Niger. They gave him, his name was Simeon, but they called him Niger. I kind of feel that Paul is the one that did it. Because Niger is a Latin word. And all it means is black. You know, I was just thinking, Paul probably came and told him, "Hey, bro, I'm going to give you a good name, something that really elevates you up. I'm going to call you Niger." All they did was call him black in another language. Now the next one is Manan. Now Manan, it says he had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say here whether Manan was related to Herod the king. It doesn't say whether he was the brother or cousin. All he says is that they were brought up together. Chances are they might have been related. Nevertheless, if they were brought up together, I'm sure Manan could have had a high position in this life. But you know, I remembered also what the Bible tells me about Moses. The Bible says that Moses also chose to suffer the affliction with God's people.
Amen.
Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a little while. So I rejoice that there are a lot of people that even though they could have done real well in this life, they refuse that and instead go on and work for the Lord and suffer with God's people. And of course, the last one is Saul, which later became Paul. The Bible tells us that he was the last one here, but God tells us that the last shall be first. But it goes on verse 2, it says that they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." You know, brothers, it's very important that we give ourselves a very fair trial in this matter.
Amen.
We cannot assuredly know whether God has called us or not unless we give ourselves a very fair trial on this. Right. Now, the first thing that I'd like to bring out, and there's no sure test that will really prove infallible. But these are just suggestions that I see that is something that we need in our lives to know whether God has called us or not. The first point, the first thing that I see, if you feel that you've been called of God, is to examine yourself to see if you have a warm and earnest desire to be employed in the service of God. You know, I've been saved for just a little over 5 years. And 5 years ago, I was at the other church, and a missionary came by. They were having a missionary conference. And he made a call. He says, all those who felt that they've been called to go to the mission field, come forward. Me and my wife went up. There were several people that went up. There were five policemen that were in that church. There was another policeman also that got up and went with us. He had 3 years to go to retire, and I had five. We both were new. We were new Christians. We knew that we could not go yet. We had a lot of things to learn. But at that time, I was already witnessing a lot. I knew David Coronado, and I don't know, most of you probably know him. We were very zealous. We were going door to door. We started out, first of all, by going to the nursing homes. This is where we got our first training. I remember Billy and Cindy went with us to teach us how to witness to people. We started there because it was easy. The little ladies cannot slam the door on you. So that's why we started. But after we graduated from there, we went on to the streets. We began to hit the west side. We were visiting all our neighbors. We were visiting all his friends and relatives. We were visiting my friends and relatives. We were staying always busy working in the work of the Lord. Amen. I had a tremendous desire to be employed full time in the service of the Lord. But the other brother, the other policeman, I'm not going to mention his name, that went up, as the years went by, he would say, brother, he would ask me, where are you going to go when you retire? Brother, I'm going to Spain. Well, why Spain? I said, I don't know. They speak Spanish, and I speak Spanish, and I guess I'll go there, you know. And if the Lord don't want me there, he'll close the door. He'll send me somewhere else. But I know I cannot wait for a telegram or a phone, or he's not going to tell me in a voice. I just got to go where I want to go, and then if the Lord don't want me there, he'll close the door. I'll leave it up to the Lord. That's the way I looked at things. Anyway, this brother would say, well, I'm still praying, brother, to see where the Lord leads me. His time came up. The 3 years were up. He knew he could retire. And I would ask him, brother, where are you going? He said, brother, I'm still praying. You know, when I was at the other church, there was only two people going door knocking. That was the only ministry the whole church had. I started over there also. We were going twice a week. And before long, we had about 10 people going that I had encouraged to go. Yeah. We were going out door knocking. I'd fill up my car and we'd go door knocking 2 times a week. But I had a lot of trouble getting this brother to go. He would tell me, brother, my wife, she doesn't want me to go. She wants me to stay at home. I feel sorry for that lady whenever she comes before the Lord. It's very possible that she's the one that hindered him all along from going. I'm not putting all the blame on her. I'm sure he's also to blame because he is the head of the house. But it's going to be terrible for her if he had really been called of God to go. And his wife kept him from going. Nevertheless, time went by. Now this brother has a new house. He's still a cop. And now he's having to work part-time on Sundays. Not going to church just to keep up with the house thing. Somebody's going to have to answer. If he was really called, it's a sad mistake not to go. I don't know whether he was really called or not. But I know from my own personal experience, I had a tremendous desire to be employed in the service of the Lord. This is one thing that I see. If you have been called of God, you need to check yourself. Amen. Do you have this warm and earnest desire to be employed in the Lord's service? If you have this earnest desire and readiness to preach, my next point is that in due season, there will appear some competent consists sufficiency as to gifts,
amen,
knowledge, and utterance.
Amen.
Now, these things do not appear immediately. I knew I couldn't go. When I felt that I had been called to go, I knew I could not preach. And if you ask me right now, can you preach? It's hard to say, yeah, I can preach, because I don't know whether I'll be boasting. At the same time, I like it when somebody that doesn't know me at all says, I like you preaching. Or, you know, that's good preaching. I'd rather hear it from them than you know, and that's how I check myself. If they're saying that and they just preach and people are getting saved, then I'm saying, Lord, I'll give him all the honor and glory. But this is something that it can get very sticky. It can get very easily to the pride. Nevertheless, if God has called you to go and teach other men, He's going to give you the gifts to do it. Now, they're not going to be manifested immediately. It's going to take time, and maybe when you go to the field, you might not have all the gifts formulated. They might not be all matured. But nevertheless, we need to continue to grow, in knowledge and in grace. And continue, we'll continue always to grow until we die. Now, if you've got that earth design, and there is a sign of the gift that God has given you, then I see another third very important point. There will be a gradual trip. Nevertheless, when I went to Spain, I went for 2 weeks. In 1 week, I was back. I couldn't stand it. I didn't feel right. I go and I passed a lot of tracks and I witnessed to some people. But I just didn't feel right talking to people that when they go out into the streets, they're all with suits and ties. I'm used to the guys who run around with a taco in their hand, you know, in Mexico. I felt real good over there. I felt comfortable. I guess because I was brought up real poor. I was brought up where I'd come home, I'd get me a tortilla, and sometimes I'd put ketchup, next time I'd put butter or beans or whatever they want, and take off and go play. And I felt very much at home when I went to Mexico. My family loved it. So, I can see that the Lord has already, He closed the door here and opened me a door over here. So, the things that are happening now in my life, or the Lord is just working miracles, I'm not going to go into that right now, but even with all these signs, my brother, there is still no sure proof that you've really been called to go. The only sure way to know is going to be once you're there.
That's right.
And if the Lord is really blessing you and sustaining you from year to year, then you can say, He called me to go. In the meantime, all you can do is pray and ask the Lord for guidance, for wisdom. Now, my advice to you, my brother, if you feel you're being called, to be diligent, to labor in examining yourself, whether you have really been called of God. Woe unto us if we go not armed with the armor of proof.
Amen.
Because the adversary is out there, and he's going to be out there trying to discourage us and tell us, you haven't been called, you should have stayed at home. We need to go with this proof that we have really been called of God to go, because we got an enemy that will be out there trying to give you doubts. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul says, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. I don't want to discourage anyone. All I want to do is encourage you to go, but to be in the Lord's will. Sufficient it is for the moment if you feel that God has called you. Never mind about the gifts. If you've got doubts on that, never mind right now. Just continue to go forward, to grow in knowledge and in grace, and be content that you feel that the Lord has called you to go. Praise the Lord.